Good evening, worst friends. It's with a heavy heart I come to you today. So before we get started, let's take a moment of silence for Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes in their doomed relationship.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lift me up, help me stand.
Help me stand.
I was blind.
Oh Lord, I was blind.
I was weak.
Yes, he was.
I was lost.
But what happened?
Through the storm.
Yes.
Through the night.
Through the what?
Lift me up.
All right, let's get this over right. with. That was fun, though.
Well, you know what that's from? That's from A Time to Kill. When Samuel Jackson comes in and shoots them white boys that raped his little girl. That
yes,
played,
they deserve to die.
And I hope they burn in hell. Yeah, that was sad. You busted that out on me today. Someone else actually one of my slapping tickles told me like the same thing. I was on Facebook, like right away within seconds. Did you hear that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes broke up? I just want to say really quick, we have a couple guests in the studio. And for those people, someone asked me, it was a good question. You and I don't record this in the same room.
No, we don't.
We have a couple of them, but it's through the magical wonder of Skype, and hopefully they'll.
I don't think we want to give away our secrets.
Well, don't they? We want to get some money from them.
Oh, that's a good idea. Skype,
yeah. Skype. Hey, but we're not in the same room. But I am dog sitting. Well, I mean, they're my dogs, so I guess I'm not sitting for them. But normally, my fiance kind of keeps them under wraps. But right now, I'm joined in the studio by Margaret May Martin Muster Antonio O'Farrell, and then former—I always forget her full name—former Major Crimes Unit and Baltimore Homicide Detective Shakima Greggs Martin O'Farrell are both
right.
Studio. So you know, we might have. They'll chime in, you know, if we're talking about something that.
Yeah, and by the way, my name's Tim, and I'm joined by Colin. This is the Worst Friends podcast. In case I forgot to say that before we did our little eulogy for the Tomcat.
Yep. All right. What now?
I'm just gonna go ahead and do my slap and tickles really quick. That's we decided to scrap shoutouts. Because we wanted to be original. So
yeah.
Now we're giving out slaps and tickles.
Yep.
My first one goes out to Jeff Howard, who is also known as Big Fat from episode 3 of Workaholics this season. And he gets a shout out just simply because he's following me on Twitter and has actually responded to me a couple times when I tweeted to him.
That's
Seems
awesome.
Like a cool guy. Dude, he has blown up too. Like, not long after. The Big Fat episode played. I looked at him, looked at his Twitter account, and I thought it was like 200 followers.
Yeah.
And then yesterday or something, I thought he had like 17, 18,000.
Jesus, really?
But I mean, that was probably the best episode of that show. Well, maybe not, but he was just a ridiculous character in a fat suit.
To be, all right, so like, what are we addressing him as? Just Big Fat?
Jeff Howard or Big Fat, either or.
I like Big Fat. All right, yeah, hey, I mean, I don't want to get started because I'm behind on Workaholics, but from the sounds of it, he's a pro. Like, he sounds like a pro, so.
Oh, yeah. And then I just have one other shout-out, and that is to...
Wait, you have one more what?
Oh, one more slap and tickle.
All right.
And that goes out to the lovely and talented Tony Trucks, who was... in a wedding that I was in this past weekend, and I met her. She's an actress. She's she's going to be on a CBS drama called Made in Jersey that's going to air this fall. She plays the sassy secretary from what I garner. So and she's from Manistee, Michigan. So I'm thinking that she's going to be the number one secretary on TV next to Mrs. Lanningham.
Mrs. Lanningham, what about Joan from Mad Men?
See, I don't really consider Joan a secretary because she's the office manager.
Okay. No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But I think Tony's got her beat.
Well, I mean, you mentioned her before, and do we think we're going to get her on the podcast?
She said she would do it. She just finished a movie too with Annette Bening and Antonio Banderas.
And that's a great point because you can't just go, oh, she was in a movie with Antonio Banderas. You have to go, Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, and from what I hear, she's got some pretty funny stories about Antonio Banderas.
I mean,
So
he
we'll
just
see.
seems like a slick character, you know. He seems like he's always trying to kind of pull a fast one
It's
over on
either
you.
that or maybe possibly a rapist. Do you get that
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's probably, I guess now as I'm older, it used to be like a
vibe?
sultry Latin thing,
Yeah.
but now it's a look at my van. Do you want to get in my van? I'm
I
Antonio
think all I
Banderas.
think all like sexy actors and sex symbols when they get older, they get that rapist vibe. Because like all of a sudden these beautiful women are like a generation below them, and they're like,
Yeah, they're
okay, yeah, you're cute.
That's what I'm kind of getting from you know, obviously right now we're filming this on Friday, the whatever Magic Mike's coming out. And
Yeah.
it's like, ooh, you know, there's all these good looking men, you know, Channing Tatum and then the dude from True Blood,
Al Seed. That's all I know him as.
Joe Mantegna, you know, just insert Joe, insert Italian last name.
Right.
But then McConaughey's in it, and you kind of like, because he had his shirt off a lot like 5 years ago. Then his
Yeah.
shirt's been kind of on. And then all of a sudden he's up there with a cowboy hat. Ain't no law around here, ladies. Woo! And it's like,
Got a
ooh.
lot of lawbreakers in
Yeah,
here tonight.
that's what it is.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
so, I don't know. Oh, we were talking about Antonio. That's cool.
I
Yeah,
think though
Tony.
McConaughey might be so stupid he gets away with it.
I heard, and this is totally veering off. I read something. I think it was on IGN.com. He's got some movie called like Killer Joe or Killer something. It's like a real dark serial killer type movie where the only thing they said is like, look, this isn't 10 How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, McConaughey. He's like a weird, creepy. It's a well-acted role. I don't know. We can look that up later. But
So I take it
anyway,
he's not in it.
he's like the star.
Someone's playing him. It's a
No, he's
well-acted role.
yeah,
Someone else is
someone's.
playing him.
And he keeps his shirt on the whole time. They made a point. That's what's bad is in the review when they make a point to say, and McConaughey keeps his shirt on the whole time. It's like, oh, okay. But hey, yeah, a big old slap and tickle to Toni though. We're hoping to have her on soon.
And she's just an all-around cool person. I mean,
She seems like it, yeah.
humble, nice, beautiful. I thought that for a second I thought we were getting married, but that's not what happened.
You got to pull that. Didn't Dwight pull that on Angela one time when on The Office when they were going to get married out at Shroot Farms? Angela was supposed to be marrying Andy.
Yeah, and he was trying to like undercut the whole thing.
Dwight went through the whole German Mennonite. You know, the minister was only speaking German, and he was giving
Yeah.
example how it'd go. And he actually married, you know,
Yeah.
him and Angela. You should have pulled one of those. But that's cool. Do you want me to go through my slap and tickles
That's
real
all
quick?
the slaps and tickles I have.
Okay, I got three. Should go pretty quick. The first one is a little slap and tickle of David Koresh.
Jesus,
And
what?
no, not the religious cult leader. This is
Okay.
just one of the many nicknames that I've come across for a good friend of mine. I was just up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan last week. And you know how we talk about how nicknames are getting a little carried out of hand. Well, this is kind of a younger friend of ours. I think he's maybe 19, 20. The son of a guy that I normally, you know, go fishing with. It's a big group of us that go fishing. He's grown his hair out a little bit. It's a little curly. He's kind of a skinny white guy. And before I even saw him, I said, "Hey, where's, you know, I won't use his real name, you know, out of respect to privacy. You know, where's your boy at? What you mean, Koresh? I don't know. He's over here." I go, "Koresh? Is that the Waco guy? Oh yeah. Wait till you see him. Totally David Koresh." And I saw him, and he looked just like David Koresh. And so, just second nature then for the 2 or 3 days that I was up there. Hey, Koresh, go grab me that drink. Hey, where's David Koresh at? Hey, go grab some plates. But he's a good kid, you know.
even though he looks like one of the most infamous cult leaders in the past, what, 20, 22
20
years,
years.
25
I
years?
looked it up. 20 years. But you know, hopefully he's listening. I told him to start following the worst friends. I told him I'd show him a little love. So a little love to David Koresh. Second is to our Asian friend Ruby.
Okay.
Just Ruby, not using her real name, because Ruby fits.
Is Ruby a common Asian name?
I don't know.
Like R-O-O space B-I.
Now, you made that joke. I didn't make that joke. I have on my notes R-U-B-Y, but I guess you're right. If it's a little more traditional, I believe she might be of Korean descent, so I haven't looked at the Korean, you know, spelling of child's names. But Ruby, she's been a friend a while, but she's really started really delving in, listening to a lot of the podcasts. She has her own, you know, personal opinion on a lot of things. But we're happy she's listening. You know, we're not going to ever knock, you know, a good listener. So my last one, and this will be quick, but this is very, in a very small way, is going to relate to just the next thing I want to talk about. I want to give a little slap and tickle to Martin McGuinness.
Okay.
FX-IRA chief. And I think I might have mentioned this to you
earlier.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I remember this. I
the
remember
Queen
hearing about this.
Of England was shaking hands with former IRA, Irish Republican Army soldiers. This was an ex-guy. But I think we got a little bit of a laugh out of the fact that his name... And I hope he doesn't send anyone after us. This is... Don't look him up on Twitter.
I hope he doesn't send Liam Neeson after us.
I mean, then it's just... I'll give in. But the name Martin McGuinness is about as Irish... I mean, that's just a great name. You couldn't make that. Like, if someone in a movie...
That's a movie name.
If their character's name was Martin McGuinness, you'd be like, oh, he's the bad Irish.
Hey,
man.
It's Marty McGuinness. Just loud, obnoxious.
Right. Just slamming his hand. Was it Peter Griffin? Does, hey!
Yeah.
Just slamming
his hand. His dad.
Right. So, Martin McGuinness. But the whole... The whole, you know, that whole Irish feel.
Mm-hmm.
Is very prominent in that new show Newsroom. We have Will McAvoy. We have Mackenzie McWhatever, you know, the female's name. And so that just started, you know, it was kind of something I was looking forward to. It just started last Sunday. Mm-hmm. We both watched it. We don't have to talk that much about it because we have a wonderful number of main topics we're going to talk about. But initial thoughts, opinion, you know, I think we both watched it and then we both read a decent amount of stuff.
I didn't really read anything after watching it.
Okay.
No.
I have. Just, I think I watched
it. I've seen a lot of reactions and heard a lot of reactions, but I haven't really read a lot. I read an article, like, before it came out about, on Huffington Post that was not recapping the episode, but just talking about what it did wrong and why it was wrong, but it didn't really tell that much about it. But it was basically bashing it the whole time.
That's been almost... I mean, it seems like that has been the majority of what came out right away. And then there's just been this slow trickling of people like, well, I liked it. No, I didn't think it was that bad. Well, I mean, what was your, just right off face value, what was your initial impression?
I thought overall it was pretty decent. There was I like the beginning when he goes on his big rant, pointing out all the things that are wrong with America or that are, you know, that are negatives on the global scale. But I thought a lot of, like, the static one-on-one dialogue scenes where it's like Mackenzie in my office and it's Will and Mackenzie talking, or it's Mackenzie and the blonde-haired chick. I thought the blonde-haired chick was horrible. That was just my opinion. I thought, like, that actress did a terrible job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way she looked, I know she was supposed to look overwhelmed, but I don't know. I just was,
it was
not
a little
buying it.
Too much. And the thing is that she's supposed to be a decent actress. She was in Milk. I don't know if you remember. She had the big curly fro in Milk.
Okay.
And she was good at, like, I've only seen her in one other thing. just that movie.
I don't know. Maybe she did exactly what she was supposed to do, you know, what Aaron Sorkin and the director told her to do, but there was something about her part that just seemed off. And that was kind of what I got, is there was just some different parts that seemed off, you know, that, right. Not that they were necessarily terrible, like I said before, I guess, but just didn't seem quite right. I don't know.
What did you think about when kind of halfway through, and hey, spoiler alert, you know, we're going to talk about the first episode. If you haven't watched it, I mean, it's the first episode, it's the pilot. It's not going to ruin too much, but if, you know, you're that worried about it, then keep listening. What did you think about the fact that it's starting in April, whatever, 2010, with the Gulf oil crisis?
All right, that was kind of interesting, I thought. It was strange. I definitely didn't really, I mean, I kind of picked up on it before I saw it, because I saw people tweeting, like, 2010, what a strange time to start, and stuff like that. But I didn't really have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that it made it look like a TV channel or a TV news show would break a story like that before, like, the Associated Press or before a newspaper in Louisiana. You know how they had the news story alert and it goes from yellow to red,
okay,
the AP alert at the end. I was like, yeah, right. A show that's going live is going to know this when it already happened, but they're going to be the first to report it, even though it happened a half hour before or an hour before. I'm like, that's a pretty tough pill to swallow.
And that's interesting, because I would have never – you have a little bit more insight into something like that. I would have – you're right. I didn't draw any of those kind of comparisons, or I didn't think,
That's what I'm saying. It's just that was kind of BS. I'm sure that some newspaper reporter would have heard something over a scanner, like the fire department, like, oh shit, you know, something just blew up in the ocean. Someone would have picked up on it before a huge cable news show did. I mean, that was the kind
Isn't that where they were getting their information, was from the local blah, blah, blah? I mean, where I thought. Two things. One is the fact that we have a good friend named Juice, and there's an uncanny resemblance between him and the Jim Harper character, as was noted by my fiance a number of times. And then I hit my fiance with a belt because she was thinking about another man. But
well, Jim Harper was kind of shy to talk to that girl. Juice would have went up and probably made her cry within 5 minutes and then had her in the bed that night.
Well, I mean, who are we to say that would happen? That probably would have happened, but who are we to say that? But the fact that he right away had two sources, one in BP, one in Halliburton, like right away, like on the phone with him. I thought that was kind of, as someone who doesn't really have many sources, I thought that was a little out there. But right away, my initial thoughts were, oh, this is kind of cool. We're going to get this kind of rehash. It's going to be kind of a new... not look at history, you know, it was only 2 years ago, but a reimagining, a put these people in this situation,
right,
and see how they react. These characters that they've created, see how they react to these things that we know have already happened. What could have been different? What could have been other points of view? I thought it was kind of interesting. When I started reading some of the reviews, that is what they killed, like Sorkin on, the writer, Aaron Sorkin, that's what they killed him on, was that, oh yeah, real easy to go back and make your own opinions and skew the story in your own direction, in your own favor, on things you already know that happened.
So and what? So, I don't get why people would kill him for that. Every time you make... Did anyone kill... was it Oliver Stone who did W? Did anyone kill him for that?
I'm sure they...
You know what I mean? It's like, it's recent history. Who cares?
I'm with you, and I think that you need to, obviously what, at least what you and I are doing, is holding this show up to the standard of The West Wing. Same writer, similar that there are going to be political views, you know, a tendency to take moral and societal issues and, you know, make a judgment on them. But what's the? Is it better that, because The West Wing would create fictional scenarios that were very, very similar to real life situations,
right?
And then mostly kind of put a liberal skew on them, but still make decisions on, you know, make opinions and decisions, and basically, you know, what would the president do? What should be done in this type of, basically judging a type of scenario that, hey, we can say, oh, that hostage situation, that's a lot like when this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that any different? Because we would draw those connections anyway. Is that any different than just saying, hey, let's go back 2 years and just let this fictional group of people react and take different takes on things we already know that happened? Is it that bad of a thing? I personally don't think so, but that's what I noticed it was getting killed on.
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing either. I think that the problem is, anymore when a show comes out or something, a new movie comes out, this whole, like, the new culture of people who review TV and movies, for some reason, somewhere along the line, it became like the it thing to, instead of watching it and reacting and picking up on things, the first thing you do when you're reviewing is, what did I not like about it? What did I think was wrong? What did I hate about it? Mm-hmm. And that's the focus of whatever their reviews are saying. And it's our whole society anymore. It's such a frickin', I don't even know what the word to use without, like, without it starting with C and ending with T. Right. You know, it's just the way people are these days. They're so nitpicky on stuff. They can't watch something and just enjoy it or not enjoy it.
I think it's very impulsive.
It's very impulsive. And then they try and make themselves to be like, oh, they try and put themselves in Aaron Sorkin's shoes or whatever and be like, oh, I could have done such a better job. But at the same time, it's like, well, really? Did you write Moneyball, The West Wing, or The Social Network? You know what I mean? And really, why didn't he get killed for The Social Network? That was something that just happened recently that he just basically redid. You know what I mean?
Made and put his language to it. I think he's definitely being, when you read the reviews, and we're just as guilty because we're thinking, oh, is this going to be as good as The West Wing? How is it going to be? We're looking forward to the good things that we like about Aaron Sorkin to make themselves prominent in a new show.
Now, I'll be flat out honest with you. When I first watched that first episode of The West Wing you showed me, I loved it right away. I knew right away that I was going to love that show. When I watched this, a lot of the dialogue was what I had had a problem with, but it just doesn't hold up to The West Wing. Maybe that's the actors they have in this. Maybe it's the scenario they're putting it in, you know, that we're inside. But it was interesting, I thought, you know, how they portrayed what it would be like if you really were a TV station breaking this news. And even if it would have already been news that was broke by a newspaper or someone local in Louisiana or by the Associated Press, that was still pretty much what I saw what a TV station would be doing. They would be trying to find people to get on their sources, get people to interview on there that no one else has, and try and get more information than everyone else. So I didn't really have a problem with it. I just, like I said, I didn't think the dialogue was as good. And I mean, I was kind of irked about how they made it sound like they would have broke that story. Mm-hmm. But overall, I didn't think it was horrible. I mean, you know, the Huffington Post, whoever wrote that review, was like, why it got everything wrong? And I'm like, okay. You know, clearly that was probably someone who was thinking like I did, a TV channel or a cable news show would never break a story. So then from there they just went, well, let's see everything else I hate on here. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
And really quick, and we won't stay on it too long. That was what you touched on it. When you watch The West Wing, and you got to know some of the supporting characters, they all seemed a lot more confident. It seemed like Jeff Bridges was kind of filtering down, and everyone was just afraid of him. Well, Sam Waterston wasn't, but he seemed drunk. He seemed really drunk. While
he seemed to be not as powerful as I thought he was going to be.
No, either. He was over exaggerating just his same
character. I didn't
know
if anyone else picked up on that but me, so.
Yeah, it kind of made me feel uncomfortable. But you want to know what? I watched him for however many 10 years playing the same role on Law & Order before, you know, they were able to meet Anthony Anderson's quote. You know, and I love Sam Waterston. But everyone else seemed afraid of him and kind of cowering before Jeff Bridges. And you didn't get that. If you look at The West Wing, again, not to keep on bringing that up, but obviously Jed Bartlett, the president, he was a prominent figure, and everyone eventually would, you know, secede to whatever his
Not Leo, God rest his soul.
Well, that's the thing, is there were strong, powerful, confident characters.
Mm-hmm.
To along, you know, Sam Seaborn had his own opinions, was, you know, halfway genius. You know, Leo, Toby, they would all stand right up to each other or the president to a certain degree based on their own merits and their own experience. Like, you felt that every single one of those people was smarter than you were.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that from the supporting cast. And I don't know if it's going to change.
Well, that's definitely why they have the new, you know, executive producer, Mackenzie. That was kind of her role. Was,
yeah,
she will. She stands up to him for everybody else.
Right. And that's fine. I would have liked to, I don't know. I missed the fact that you could skew off on any one of the subordinate characters' storylines in the West Wing and have them be 100% capable of just beating down someone else in an argument or saying, this is the president's policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. This is what we're sticking with. You know, and Toby would just go toe-to-toe with the president, even
storm off. Oh, that wide-eyed stare he'd always do.
You know, and just kind of turn his head and go, Mr. President, you know, and then Jed would get all pissed off, you know, Toby. Mm-hmm. So, but again, we're holding it to a standard of a show that we know we love. It doesn't mean that this isn't going to be a good show. There were definitely some, but we're just as guilty, you know, trying to nitpick and find little flaws right at the beginning. But do you agree that it's worth, I mean, I'm at least doing this first season, you know, all the way through.
I mean, if, unless I watch like 4 or 5 episodes and I just don't like it, but
mm-hmm.
I think from what I saw in the first one, I'll stick around.
Good deal. I agree. How do we want to transition these other guys?
We just talked about an actor from Michigan who is well revered.
Uh-huh.
And what we're going to talk about is kind of actors. I call them, I was tweeting a lot of things, actors we miss, you know, hashtagging actors we miss, underappreciated actors. These are guys, and Colin calls them the other guys. These are guys who either used to be in a lot of movies and aren't in as many movies now, or TV shows, or they just seem to, some of them almost seem to kind of fall off the face of the earth, or just seem like they could have been bigger stars and they're not. I mean, is that
what
kind
they,
of accurate?
What they have in common, and we threw up about 4 of the main ones on the Facebook page throughout the week. Basically, the response we were hoping for is that someone would be like, oh, him? Oh,
right.
wait, who's, what they got him up there for? You wouldn't know his name right off mm-hmm. the top of your head. You know, I can admit that. Well, I say 3 out of the 4 that we threw up there 2 weeks ago, if you would have said, what's his name? I didn't mm-hmm. know him 3 out of the 4. But there's someone that you go, oh, yeah, I know him. Oh yeah, okay, him?
Right.
But not from a, yeah, not necessarily a leading actor, at least not recently. But you recognize him, you know you've seen him in something, you're like, oh, he's from that movie. It basically gets that same ambiguous response out of you. It's just like, oh,
right.
yeah, he's that other guy.
Or like he pops up and you're like, oh, I didn't know he was in here.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's start off with the kind of the first one. Like I said, it's a Michigan man, Jeff Daniels, so we'll go to another Michigan man. And that is, you know, who many call the king of cult, Bruce Campbell. And obviously the first thing when you talk Bruce Campbell is the big one is Army of Darkness, which was directed by Sam Raimi, who also did Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and the first 3 Spider-Mans, not the new one coming out.
No.
And so what's your kind of, when you think of Bruce Campbell, what's the first thing you think of?
That, just what you mentioned, Army of Darkness. I mean, we
not
watched...
his chin.
I mean, it's a very it's a powerful chin. It's a prominent, powerful chin. It's one I wish I had. The Evil Dead movies, Army of Darkness. I mean, you talk to some people, and they will say, "Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2." That's where their passion is.
Right, which is where they go into like the cabin and
yes,
the crazy.
Thing coming out of the floor. Well, the
Monsters
Book of the Dead
or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
They open the Book of the Dead.
The Necronomicon.
Right. I think the third one, for more of a comedic perspective, Army of Darkness, is one that you can easily make. Not saying we didn't like the first or the second one. The second one's basically a remake of the first one. But the third one.
Oh,
They just
God.
basically pull out all the stops.
The third Army of Darkness just has so many things you can never forget. You know, like when all these people back in this past place are like surrounding him, and he pulls out the gun. This is my boomstick. And then
Double barrel shotgun. It's a real double.
he manages to like plug the place where he works, where you can pick one up. Shop smart. Shop S smart. You know, just like all these one-liners and ridiculous things he says and does, and it's just hilarious. He ends up with a chainsaw for a
On
hand.
one hand, yeah, it's a great, again, it's something that's what I think of at the very beginning when I think of Bruce Campbell. And one of the things I tried to do was to pull together, we're going to basically rattle off at least four main guys and then a couple other, honorable mentions. But I tried to look at what is one thing that all of these guys maybe have in common. And all of them don't have the same things in common. But one of the things is an iconic role, usually at a younger age. When they were kind of younger in their prime, they had just some role that, whether it's through a cult following or, a big time. We're going to talk about another guy who was in Platoon, and you just kind of remember him from Platoon. You remember, then he's in so many other things. Kind of longevity through an iconic role as they were younger. And I can still watch, and I still to this day, because old Bruce Campbell, God bless him, yeah, he had cameos in all three of the Spider-Man movies. And when you saw him in the first one, you kind of put two and two together. You're like, oh, same director from, yeah, oh, Bruce Campbell's in this. And then I swear to you, I went and watched the next two in theaters, just waiting to elbow my
Looking
fiance.
for
Go, there he is. There he is. As soon as I saw him. And I swear, in the third one, I think in the third one, he's in a, one of them, he's in a movie theater. Another one, he's a French waiter.
Yeah, the second one, he's like the doing the door at the place
At
that
the play.
MJ's in, and
It's
he's
when.
just smarmy,
It's when he was the French waiter, then, I guess in the third one, that there were a group of, and I'm not gonna, knock them, but just a group of guys in the theater. Woo! They were doing the same thing. They're like, where's Bruce? Bruce Campbell's gonna pop up here somewhere. Where is he gonna be? There were rumblings that if the series, if the Sam Raimi directed Spider-Mans were gonna go on, he was gonna play Mysterio, which is a major, if you ever watched the com read the comics or watched the comic with the big bulb, the fish
Yeah,
bulb
the
on his
big
head.
glass head or
In the
whatever.
second movie, I think the like you said, the guy at the theater, if you looked in the credits, his character's name was the same as one of the villains that eventually played Mysterio. So that's what I was holding
That's
on to.
interesting.
I was pissed when they decided to reboot it, because I was like, no. The
Yeah, I
point.
actually saw someone on Twitter ask him if he's going to be in it, and he said no, but he's still somehow involved with the video game based on it.
Of course.
But he's done some other stuff too, Congo. I think you've mentioned that on here before.
Doing what he does best.
Screaming.
Yes, he turns. If you watch the movie, it's a bad movie. It's a great book, a bad movie. He's at the beginning. He's in the jungle searching for diamonds, and all of a sudden his friend goes missing, and something hits him in the chest. And this actually all happened in the book too. He looks down, and it was an eyeball that hit him in the chest. He looks up. You never see what he sees. It's just a zoom in on his face.
Just letting out a big old scream.
Perfect. I mean, who is there a better man to just scream at the top of his lungs?
Well, that's like one of the famous Evil Dead pictures or from the movies where he's like looking right in the camera, just ah! He's got cuts and blood all over his face.
Let's come back to his most recent television endeavor, because we can tie it into like one of the head guys that we want to talk
Another
about.
guy.
Who do you want to bring up? Do you want to Let's get Fitchner out of the way.
Yeah, I actually forgot to take notes on him, but you
I
might
get
recognize him from Entourage. He plays the producer that gets Johnny Drama the he's friends with Drama and tries to help him out, and also he had a big role in that show Prison Break.
Oh,
You remember
I never,
that?
yep, I remember the show. I didn't watch it. I thought it
He
was
was
terrible.
like the one hunting the guys, and then it ends up he I can't remember if like he turns on the government or whatever. I didn't really follow the show that much.
Recently, movie wise, he was in Drive Angry with our man Nicolas Cage. And even then, like, that's where I decided to add him in, because when I saw the previews, you know, it's Nick Cage just being an asshole. Then all of a sudden you see William Fichtner strolling around in a suit, and it's like, oh my God, he's in this.
Doing that coin flip that they had in there just for the 3D technology, so they could have the coin flipping out.
Right. But when you look back, he has a good, like, get on his IMDb. Every single one of these guys, we encourage you to get on their IMDb. They've done.
Yep.
We're not talking about anyone who hasn't paid their dues. He was in Armageddon. He was in Black Hawk Down. He was in. What else was he? What's a. Oh, yeah, he was the bank manager in The Dark Knight at the very beginning.
Yeah.
He was in Blades of Glory. He was the dad.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. These guys aren't just...
He was a Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Let me just run through it really quick, because one of them's going to jump out. Oh, hey, he played Justice Christopher Mulready in The West Wing. Huh?
Oh, yeah? What season?
I can't tell. I'm scrolling down still. But there's one that I was thinking, when he was in Armageddon... He was in The Perfect Storm, and if you watch that, he is roided the hell out.
Oh, yeah?
He is massive. And, like, look, I love him. If I ever got to meet him, I would shake his hand and kiss his ring, so don't let it sound like we're making fun of any of these guys or saying that he was roided out, but he was huge. He was huge in The Perfect Storm. He was in Go. You remember Go?
No.
Contact. Hey, he was in Heat.
Contact?
He was in Heat. Roger Van Zandt. Remember? De Niro pops him kind of near the end because... You remember De Niro going, "Where's Van Zandt?
Yeah.
Where's Van Zandt at? We got to get to Van Zandt." Virtuosity. Quiz Show Malcolm X.
Oh,
he was
God.
In Baywatch. As the World Turns. Like, this is a thing. This is another one of the criteria that I put. They pay their dues. You know,
right.
They've done, whether it's comedy, whether it's, you know, action, whether it's drama, these guys, when their name's been called, they're not like Anthony Anderson saying, "You got to meet my quote." It's like, I want to be in a good
right.
movie.
Well, that's like, I looked up when we just, I know we're past Bruce Campbell, but he had a show called Briscoe County Jr. did you see that on there? Where it's
no.
like, he was the star, and it was a TV show. I guess it was like a sci-fi western. I've never watched it before. I've heard the name, but I didn't really know about it. And like critically, it was really well accepted, but I think it had like 27 episodes, so maybe two seasons, and it just, the ratings slowly, you know, like a lot of shows, just slowly get lower and lower, and then they don't get picked up anymore. But you know, it's, these guys have all done something or been around, and they keep working, and it's like
it's
you
career.
Said
Yeah, it's their job.
They may not ever be the most popular, the richest person in Hollywood, but they're actors.
After a while, you recognize them. Like the casual fan goes, "Oh, he's in this," just like we said, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've obviously garnered our respect. You know, like these are the guys that if you told me maybe he was doing some kind of B-level movie and I could be an extra in a William Fichtner movie, it's like, yes. You know, where the hell do I sign up? You know,
right.
And I need him, and
right.
I would bullshit with him about everything, all these other movies that he's done. You know, with all these other people and just the outrageous roles that he's played. So we don't got to stick on him too much, but I think he's in the conversation just because of the reaction that you get when you see him.
And we're not ranking these guys or anything.
No.
We're just throwing some names out there. And I was asking people on Twitter to tell me some more and on Facebook and stuff to tell me some more, but I wasn't giving away really who we were going to talk about.
Type of person.
Do
we want to talk about the best looking?
Yeah, that's who I want to talk about next. And this guy, honestly, at one time, I'm not saying he's my favorite actor, but dude, this guy was killing it. And that's Cary Elwes. I'm not sure how you say it even.
Right.
But if you don't know who this guy is, obviously you've never seen Princess Bride.
Right.
Which was back in 87, kind of his, I don't know if I would say, I'd probably say it's his biggest movie, at least like cult following, the movie he's really, really known for.
Yeah.
And it's a hilarious movie. It's a good movie. He did that. Hot Shots. He plays a really good, like, sophisticated, rich, like, douchey guy. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, in Hot Shots, he's Ramada's new boyfriend.
He was.
And he's... Him and Charlie Sheen have that scene when they first meet. Like, they get in a little fight. He's like... He started it, and then Cary Elwes is like, did not. And Charlie Sheen's like, did so. Did not. You know, he always brings, like... He seems to be, to me, a really good comedic actor.
Let's not overlook, probably, what you said earlier. Is he the best Robin Hood?
Oh, yeah. In Robin Hood Men in Tights, he is the best Robin Hood. One, because as he points out in the movie, he can speak with an English accent, which perhaps Russell Crowe was able to as well. But I kind of like thinking
Kevin
of...
Kevin
Costner didn't even try.
No.
But I kind of like to think of Robin Hood as just this cocky, you know, this cocksure... wise-ass guy who always has a little comment, always is a step ahead intellectually, not just some brute who's, you know, good with an arrow. Even though Cary Elwes had that Patriot arrow in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Was that the five arrows? What was the thing where he shot, like, five arrows at once?
That's what it... Oh, I think that's what it showed on the front of the DVD box. I think it shows
he never did that in the movie.
Arrows. But he was also in Days of Thunder. We talked about Tom Cruise earlier.
And what were we saying can out of nowhere pull a... And think of him in Saw. Pull a dramatic character. You think of him as, this goofball, you know, just a smartass. But then, bam, he's in Glory, you know, and he's a serious guy. He's in Days of Thunder. Serious.
Have you seen that movie ever, The Crush? That's another one where he's the lead actor. And, he's like a writer, and he moves into his family's guest house, and the daughter next door at the family's daughter is Alicia Silverstone, and she's like 14, develops like this crush on him, and is like stalking him and accuses him of rape and stuff. You know, it's really one of those like suspenseful, psychological drama type movies. But he was also very good as the. As you know, the sophisticated douchebag guy in Liar Liar. Remember when he tries doing the claw? Ooh, it's the claw. You're scared
it's
of the claw.
Scared of the claw. Yes. And this, again, with him, scroll through his IMDb, you know, and just, he was in Twister.
Yeah, I know. I forgot about that one.
Well, you can forget about 10 other movies. You know, we mentioned Saw really quick. It's just what he does TV, he does serious, he does drama, he does comedies.
Yeah, wasn't he in an episode of Seinfeld?
He was David, yeah. Because I just like went past that. Yeah, and he was in Seinfeld.
That's the thing with him. I just wonder, like, what the heck happened to him? Because he was in all these movies, whether he was the lead or he was just a smaller role, you know, and he was in all these movies, then he just kind of fell out of everything. I guess he was in Saw 3D, but you know, it's just like, where did he go?
But like, from a leading man standpoint, is kind of what you're like. Didn't we make the joke? I made the joke to you, is that Christian Bale stole the new Batman from him? Just joking around. But why isn't he good-looking chap? Obviously, there might be just personal preferences of what he prefers to do. He's a good-looking guy. He's British. Obviously, with both Batman and Spider-Man, obviously now we can't find a good American-grown superhero.
Apparently
so,
not.
But why? And I don't know. You know, that was the question I was going to pose to you. Is he just kind of, has he gotten a little bit older? Do you think that it hurts him that people would look at him and say, "Oh, it's the Princess Bride guy"? Like, does he lose credit from being an iconic? Character from
I don't know because you know for a decade straight actually probably about 15 years straight after that he was just popping up in all these movies. You know, what year was Saw made? 2001 2002. I did actually find out that there's a film he's just been in that's in post-production, but it looks like a kid's film. I'm not sure. It's called The Oogie Loves and the Big Bloon Adventure. It looks like it's like I don't know if it's like half animated, half, you know, live action, but it has Christopher Lloyd, Jamie Presley, Cloris Leachman, Chaz Palminteri. I mean, it has a lot of people in it.
Chaz Palminteri?
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah, okay.
But
I think that's a great question. I don't know why, because you look at Leo, we remember Leo from younger kid roles.
Yeah,
Christian Bale was in
Newsies.
All the
way back to Gilbert Grape.
Right. What hurt them? Is it purely, because we have to accept that maybe there's a point where we're unable to detect acting skills at such a level where maybe Leo and Christian Bale, and I know you hate me using the CB word, are they quote unquote better actors than Cary Elwes and Bruce Campbell? I don't know. Like, I don't know where the line is drawn to where some actors who kind of grow up in front of us can blossom. I guess there's more that don't than do.
Right.
And I guess we could talk about Blossom and Joey Lawrence never really.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Do we
Joey, where the hell did that come from? Joey.
Wasn't he in Blossom?
Whoa.
Hey, speaking of whoa, my co-hosts here are looking at me like they're about ready to fertilize the carpet. Can we take a quick breather and get right back at it?
Yeah, hold on a second. All right, we're back, and we got one more underappreciated actor to talk about. And this guy is the best.
Yeah.
John C. McGinley.
McGinley.
I just got to have to say that pretty much everything he's in, he's the highlight of that movie for me.
And you can tell Kima likes him, too.
Yeah, she might recognize him from that movie, The Animal.
No,
with Rob Schneider.
And I'll feed into just what we've talked about before. He's done serious. He's done comedy, obviously. We could probably do a whole podcast just going through his IMDb. I mean, I don't know how you want to approach him, where you want to start. Do we just want to... I mean, he's done it all.
What?
Do we want to talk about his Oliver Stone connection?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in, I think, at least seven Oliver Stone movies. And I only got that from listening to some Oliver Stone director's commentary on a movie. And he's like... And John there, John, I think I put him in at least seven or eight of my movies.
Would Brad Pitt say he's amped?
He's amped. Oh, that's the best part is in Seven, that commentary, you just hear Pitt go, McGinley. There's a boy, McGinley. He was amped.
You have a feeling that everything he's in, like, everyone really respects him and really likes him, too.
Yeah. He brings either energy or, if it's maybe a younger cast, he brings... You know, oh, here we go. You know, here's
now,
the man.
No, did you watch the show Scrubs at all?
I did, and I'm going to be the minority here, but I never really cared for Scrubs.
Oh, is it you didn't care for Scrubs or you don't like Zach Braff?
I didn't enjoy how they incorporated such a serious arc to every storyline. If you're going to be an over-the-top... You know, cut away to. I remember a time when
that show's,
you know,
great, man.
But then someone always died of cancer at the end. Like, it was all so depressed. I want to watch a comedy to laugh. I think The Office did about as good of a job as I've watched of pulling just a little bit of a serious overtone. And even then, it was just because you felt uncomfortable with whatever Michael Scott was doing. Like, that's when it got serious. But Scrubs would do cutaways and weird outfits and just one-liners. But then someone's cousin would die of dysentery. Like, seriously.
What did you want it to be, like, House, where every episode is, like, the brink of disaster, and then some old wiry asshole pulls something out of his ass to save the day?
I don't like House either. You know, if we really want to get down to it, I don't care for many. Look forward, my comedies are a specific set of things, and then I completely shut my brain off and then look towards a dramatic. You know, I think a drama can have some comedic
well,
element.
Well, let's not get too much too far
yeah,
into
yeah,
this.
Go on,
what
get off
what
my...
did you think of John C. McGinley as Bob in Office Space?
I mean, that's why people ask me what I do, and that's my go-to line. I go, "You ever watch Office Space?" "Yeah." "Remember the Bobs?" "Yeah." I go, "That's me." And then I go, "What would you say you do here?"
What exactly would you say you do here?
You do with that just smug, you know, sarcastic. This he could do it all. He did that. He kind of busted through. I guess he actually auditioned for his role in Platoon with Oliver Stone. So it wasn't a Oliver Stone knew McGinley and brought him on board. He straight up auditioned and came through on that role, and that just started. I mean, just pick whatever he's been. You know, he was in Seven with Brad Pitt. He played just like a high-strung SWAT character. He was in Nixon. He was in The Rock. Kind of played a similar, like, hardcore Marine. He was in Any Given Sunday.
See, that was the one. That role in Any Given Sunday is so hilariously over the top. It's like every stereotype of the ignorant, just states the obvious yet has to be like overreactive sports media sports journalist guy, all of them, every like sports journalist you hate rolled up into one,
right,
is John C. McGinley in Any Given Sunday.
And the, you know, care coaches get mad at him, but then you know, at the end of it, you know, shaking his hand, "You have a cigar on me," you know, Chino yells at him. You know, then in action movies again, and then in The Animal, Stealing Harvard, then go back.
Oh, God, Stealing Harvard. I went in for, what is it, to get my prostate checked. My doctor told me I had one of the cleanest prostates he has ever seen.
Wait, I mean, just take, this sums him up right here. If you look at his IMDb, in 2006, World Trade Center. Right before that, 2006, Puff Puff Pass.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, he doesn't have a conscience, but yet he will give you everything he has.
That's what I mean. He's like, he pretty much, to me, steals the show. That in Wall Street, when he just says, "Gecko." It's like, it's like, you know, my favorite part of the whole movie. It's just that one word.
They planned on it too. You know, Sheen gets up. Sheen gets a call. You know, "You did it, sport. You know, put blah, blah, blah." And, you know, Sheen like stands up and yells something out. And then the camera just whoosh, right in on McGinley. "Gecko."
It's just one word. And it's like, it's like all this smart ass like energy in the universe rolled into one man for one word.
Right.
Gecko.
Gecko.
Like, really?
And we still do it just for no reason, you know. We'll see that there's, you know, someone already took our seats. Gecko.
Do you remember John C. McGinley in that movie Wagons East with John Candy?
I remember the movie. I didn't know he was in it.
He's the, they're all moving back east, and he's like the one gay guy in the group. He's got like the handkerchief wrapped around his neck and stuff.
Oh, I mean, no, to answer your question, but am I surprised one bit that, you know, he, let's, you know, just try and look at like our criteria again. He played, and I think we're maybe, I don't know if Platoon, we recognize it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was, for various reasons, you know, when we were born, everything else, we recognize how influential, how important of a movie it was, you know, give or take. I don't want to be too overdramatic, but the fact that he was a prominent figure in that, it's kind of qualifies for that early, he had an iconic-ish role in an early big movie.
Right.
He's lasted, it's something we remember when he was younger, he's lasted, you and I think maybe remember him more for Gecko when he was young.
Well, I mean, to me, his iconic role is Dr. Cox in Scrubs, but you can't really relate to that.
You know, I would say for me, the first role I think of is the Bobs, but again, we're thinking of him as a comedic,
right?
Actor.
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, he's so funny. What it's, and that's what he does. He gives you, It's like whatever that movie needs him to do, he does it like as well as anybody can do
right.
it.
And now, you know, more recently, we like to talk about what are they doing now? And this kind of ties in with our man, Bruce Campbell.
And I just found this out today.
Yes, you found this out.
That apparently...
Neither of us watched Burn Notice, right?
No, neither of us watched Burn Notice on USA, but that's Bruce Campbell's, I don't know, he's not the lead actor in that series, but he's maybe like the third billing or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's probably the one most people recognize. And apparently, John C. McGinley has a recurring role in that show now. And what did you liken it to today, Colin?
If I was to, I've never watched Burn Notice. I've actually, for whatever reason, just because I think that the Michael Weston, the guy who plays him, I actually, like, I think I saw a homeless man on the side of the road who could act better than he could. And again, what do I know about acting? The only reason I would ever watch that show is because it's like, you're right. In the intro, when you're disavowed from the CIA, I'm actually doing him more of a benefit. When you're disavowed from the CIA, everyone cuts you off. All you have is your crazy ex-girlfriend, your best friend who ratted you out.
Do then they bam. Really say that in the intro?
Yes, in the intro. It's every intro. That's their little, you know, they show a bunch of people on the Miami beach in Speedos, you know, in flowered shirts. When you're disavowed from the CIA, and so his third little line he gets to, your former best friend who ratted you out. And then there's Campbell smiling,
Hawaiian shirt.
Yup, drinking a Corona, doesn't care. This is retirement for Bruce Campbell. Do you think he cares? He doesn't care. I haven't watched the show. I know Bruce Campbell's in it. That's the only reason I would watch it. When you told me that McGinley, or as Brad Pitt goes, McGinley. The McGinley was in it. I didn't know it was a recurring special guest role. I thought maybe it was just like
I didn't know that either. I just saw someone put it on Twitter.
Put it up there. I was like, if you tell me when that episode is going to be on, I will watch that episode.
Right.
Because to me, that is the exact same as in the movie Heat when De Niro and Pacino finally sat down and had a cup of coffee. I mean, these are two... of the very best of what they do.
Like, you're not even sure that the cameras were powerful enough to get them in the scene together. Wasn't that the big rumor?
Because
it's all over-the-shoulder shot, so everyone's like, they weren't even really in there.
The urban legend is that neither one of them wanted to be in the same scene with each other. So they had they'd show an over-the-shoulder shot of Pacino, but with a stand-in.
Can't you almost see, like, a Family Guy... where it's like spoofy Burn Notice, and you got Bruce Campbell's chin sticking out really far, and like John C. McGinley's huge jaw, and they're like sitting on other ends of the table, but their chins are touching or something.
Or McGinley's like big old curly fro,
or his
just
big
like
old forehead
up.
Or something.
Right. So I'm gonna, and it's gonna piss me off to do so, but next time I see Burn Notice on,
right,
I'm probably going to just give it a shot just to see what McGinley... And it'll probably be a horrible role, you know? He'll probably be playing way too dramatic or something.
No.
But I'm going to give it a shot. So I think he's right up there. I look forward to... like, I go into a movie thinking, you know, I hope... whatever movie it is. Say I'm going to go, hopefully, knock on wood, go see The Avengers. I hope it's good.
Seen that.
No, I haven't. But if McGinley popped up in it, that would make it worthwhile just to like to leave the movie and be like, damn, you see McGinley in that movie?
Right.
We looked up that Savages, that new Oliver Stone movie. I still think he has to be like an unbilled. He'll pop up like...
kind of like Bruce Campbell in Darkman, where he just at the very end, the very last 5 seconds, you see someone slowly turn to the camera. It's Bruce Campbell.
Just his face. So I go into a movie rooting that John C. McGinley will be in it. Kind of the same with Bruce Campbell. And I think that's why they're right up at the top of you know, this wacky category that we have.
All right. Well, we got a few more minutes. We had a couple honorable mentions that we wanted to talk about. Tim Curry, Clue, Home Alone 2. I think he's been in some of the Muppets.
Like him. He played Cardinal Richelieu in The Three Musketeers.
Okay, yeah.
The Disney movie. And you remember who played The Three Musketeers, right?
Oh, not off the top of my head.
Let me just rattle them off for you. First of all, there's Three Musketeers, but there's the fourth one.
D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan. And that was Chris O'Donnell, now
Right.
famous from
Robin.
CSI, NCIS, Los Angeles.
Wasn't he Robin?
Sacramento. Yeah, he was Robin with Clooney.
Yep.
Then Kiefer Sutherland was Athos.
Yep.
Porthos was played by our good friend, badass Oliver Platt.
Yeah.
And then Aramis, do you remember who Aramis was?
No. I can remember Oliver Platt, though.
Well, Aramis's new show just debuted the other night, Anger Management.
Oh, God.
Charlie Sheen.
Hasn't Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland done a few movies together?
I mean, they were huge around the time when long mullets and fresh faces were it, you know, where you
had a
long mullet and star in a movie with a good-looking woman alongside. You know, Kiefer did a bunch of those. Charlie did a bunch of those. So I don't know if they teamed together before, but I know Three Musketeers with Tim Curry as Cardinal Richelieu is about as good as it gets.
Okay, and another one we had was Delroy Lindo.
Delroy Lindo.
I cannot tell you the last thing I saw him in since Gone in 60 Seconds.
He was in a TV show, and I didn't watch this. I'm just on his IMDb. He was in that TV show, Chicago Code. He was a voice in Up.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of these guys have done voiceover stuff. I know that John C. McGinley's done some, too.
Oh, Tim Curry's done a bunch of voices. He was in, Delroy Lindo was in Domino from My Name is Domino Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bounty hunter. Right before that, Sahara with a frequently shirtless
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. But then before that, a lot, you know, the core, the one with Jet Li, Gone in 60 Seconds, Romeo Must Die, Cider House Rules, The Devil's Advocate, Ransom.
Okay.
Give me back my son!
No, that you're thinking Taken. that's the accent you did.
No, that...
Yeah, but you did an Irish accent like Liam Neeson.
Okay, you're right, because I did.
Mel Gibson would be like, give me back my son, Jew.
That was better. Broken Arrow, Get Shorty, Congo.
Oh, jeez.
He was in Congo and he was uncredited. Oh, I remember him in Congo. Malcolm X. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, man paid his dues. So, an honorable mention again.
And then, we only have a few minutes, like I said, so I just want to throw this one out there, too. How did Jim Brewer not get more movies after his performance in Half-Baked? Can someone please explain that to me? I do not understand it.
I really don't know.
Because
I mean, it's possible that...
He was on Saturday Night Live, obviously mostly remembered for Goat Boy, and you reminded me, too, the Joe Pesci show, which is probably my favorite character he did by far. That was ridiculous.
Oh, my God, that was... I used to, in fifth grade, in Mrs. Tracy's class, you remember her.
Yep.
We had to do some kind of play or performance. I did, and I called him, the script's probably still written out somewhere, Bobbert... I think the character's just name was Bobbert because it was supposed to be Robert De Niro.
Right.
And I did it, and I told you this. My only Robert De Niro impression is in Goodfellas when
a little bit.
When Bats is like, ah, come on, Jimmy, I didn't insult him. Do you think I insulted him? And then De Niro goes, hey, you did a little bit.
Right.
You did a little bit. That's my only impression, but it's only because it was accentuated by whoever they had on the Joe Pesci show when Jim Brewer did Jim Pesci on Saturday Night Live.
Well, it was Colin Quinn, wasn't it?
Doing, Colin Quinn, yep.
Robert De Niro. A little bit.
I hear things. Oh! He just was such a high-pitched, you know, crazy. He always had a bat behind his desk.
Yeah. But wouldn't you have thought, though, after Half-Baked, I mean, that role he played in that he would have gotten at least a role just like that a few times. I mean, come on. He was hilarious in that movie. Just absolutely stoned out, like the stereotypical smoke too much weed guy.
Right. I mean, I agree with you, but the fact that no one else anywhere in Hollywood felt the need to or felt like he deserved anything. You're right. He kind of dropped off. I know he still does stand up,
mm-hmm.
but and who knows? There are some guys that just like doing stand-up.
Right.
Whether or not that's actually true, you know, hey, I'm going to turn down million-dollar offers to because I just want to do stand-up. I mean, I love Jim Brewer, but what have you – just boy hasn't been around. You know,
right.
I still – what was his character's name in Half-Baked? Do you remember?
God.
I
would
like
remember it.
But the thing is, you're right. If he popped up in something, it's almost different because I wouldn't be like, oh, him? Right away,
right.
I'd be like, Jim Brewer's in this movie. What the hell is Jim Brewer doing? So I don't know if maybe he became too famous for a certain Goat Boy.
Yeah.
Right off the bat that soured anything else that he could have done.
Well, I guess we'll just have to hold our breath that all of these guys can get together for a movie and maybe we'll finally see that. Maybe there's a preview for it at Avengers and you just haven't seen it yet. But we're basically out of time. Just want to tell everybody, you know, keep following us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, keep listening, and make sure you support these actors we talked about today. There's some great ones. And thanks for listening.
Give me back my son.
You only die once.